Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to With Insights. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia, streaming live on the World Wide Web, on withinsightsradio.com, on the Blog Talk Radio Network. For the next 60 minutes, we will be learning about With Insights. All our friends on this show have something to share, something to give. So I want you to sit back and relax, fasten your seatbelts, and let's get ready for the ride.
Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia, streaming live here on the World Wide Web here in Columbus, Ohio at Garcia's International Restaurant. Family-owned business here in Columbus. Today, our studio will be here versus being at my home. And today, we have a guest who will be joining us here shortly, David Diamondheart. He is actually a Reiki master and a vibrational healer. So we're going to visit him in a little bit, kind of pick his brain, take him on a journey and go on a journey with him and see where we go with that. But today, I just want to share with everybody and just say hi. I know we've been kind of doing running reruns here lately because Rose and I have been kind of doing our own little things, our own little projects. We've taken a little break, kind of like we always do every year about this time. We're going to be coming back on air live weekly now. We have other shows that you can listen to. Mutto at Midnight. We have Jenny Seek. She has her show. We got Heather L. Tapia. She has her show. So I want you to tune into all those folks, you know, when you have time, when you can't tune into us. I just want to invite everybody just to sit back and relax and enjoy and just you know, have an open heart, have an open mind, and just listen to, you know, the messages you're going to receive and hear today. If we do have a time to take calls and if we do have time to get a reading, we'll invite you to that point when it comes to that point. But right now we're just going to go to a whole different realm of seeing things, awakenings, and a whole different viewpoint and a whole different three-dimensional, four-dimensional, six-dimensional journey here in a little bit with our friend David. He brings some really interesting energy and some really interesting artwork, and he's going to be sharing with us here shortly. But I wanted to share with everybody a little reading today. We're going to go with the card. We're going to go with the animal totem to help us get started. And I'm going to just shuffle the deck, and I'm going to ask David to pick a card out of the deck. All right. Okay, folks, let's see what we got. We have the snake. Snake is about healing, and you are a healer. Perfect show. Perfect way to segue into it, isn't it? The snake also is a representation of change, a representation of Kundalini energy, a representation of transformation. Those are probably, you know, what you're most familiar with when you hear the snake. You know, some people are fearful of the snake. Actually, the snake is a very powerful creature. The snake is a very gifted animal. It doesn't really... Its eyesight is either very poor or some are very blind. Some don't even see. And their tongue is, you know, used to, you know, filter and pick up the senses in the air. And that's how they find their prey, through vibrations and different sounds. And as they grow, the snake actually sheds its skin. And that shedding, you know, makes room for more growth and more development. And so here we are, all of us, you know, healers and non-healers, but everybody's healing. We're doing our self-healing. And we're moving through this fast-moving planet. And we're shedding off every time. 7 years from now, we're going to have a whole completely different body where we're at today. We're kind of like the snake. We shed away all our little cells and our little things, and we keep changing our organs, our skin. You know, everything about us changes because when you look in the mirror, I guarantee you don't look like you did when you were 20 years old. There's a similarity, and there's just photocopying over and over and over yourself, and there's change. Within that change becomes wisdom and knowledge and things we pick along the way and the people we meet, the people we associate with. So that's what the snake brings with us today. So that's a great totem. Thanks for pulling that. All right. And we're going to get started here. David, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Iggy. I appreciate the invite. I always feel welcome at your place.
Good. I'm glad you're here. I'm going to ask you questions like I've never met you before because our listeners don't know you. So if it sounds like I'm being repetitive about things, just kick back and relax. And this is how we all learn. And this is how I learn, too. So I want to just start with about you telling us a little bit about yourself, who you are and how you got, you know, who is David?
Who am I? Okay, you want my story about who I used to be then?
Then we'll begin there.
Okay. I'm 45 years old, graduated from Ohio State University with a degree in risk management and insurance in 1993. And at the time, I was working for guys in wheelchairs that were spinal cord injured, making more money than I could make entry-level work in insurance. So I never actually worked in insurance a day in my life. Mm-hmm. And then after working for the guys in wheelchairs for like 13 years, I decided, you know, I'm as smart as the people who are coming here doing nursing care. I can go and be a nurse. And then I went to North Adult Vocational School, graduated in the 2002 C class, and worked for 7 years, about 70 hours a week, doing home care nursing. I got kind of burnt out on it.
Yeah, that, there's a lot of work involved, especially seeing people through traumas and people aging and dying and being sick.
That didn't really bug me as much as like an organizational focus on abstract numbers that really, in my mind, didn't have anything to do with the quality of care I was giving the people.
Mm-hmm.
And these arbitrary numbers impacted how I felt about working to the point that I just couldn't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm. So basically, it's a business, and they wanted you to produce.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I remember in nursing school, one of the nurses that I really respected, Miss Graves, she said, always remember, nursing is a business. It doesn't have to make sense. It just has to make dollars.
There you go. So how did you get into the holistic field you're in? I see you're a Reiki master.
Well, I had a spiritual awakening in October of 2009, and it was a very intense experience. I was minding my own business, taking a shower. I'm not sure how else to describe it. You know, I'm just washing up in the shower, and all of a sudden, I heard the voice. It was a light, crisp, sweet female voice, and she said 6 words to me. Prepare for Merkaba light body activation. And then she touched me right along my spine between my shoulder blades. And when she did that, it affected me on a deep, profound level. It like revealed truths to me about my life that it's like I knew them instantly. I knew I hated my life and I wasn't really like a good boyfriend or a friend or a son or relative to anyone. All that I did was work. That was like the entire way I defined myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, within 2 weeks of becoming Merkaba Light Body activated by the angel, I had quit all 5 of my home care jobs.
All simultaneous at the same time.
Well, yeah, pretty much within a couple day period. And, you know, I went in, I was like the go-to guy at most of these places. I was, you know, in certain situations teaching RNs how to do blood draws, you know, things that, like, usually if you're an LPN, you're not teaching the RNs how to do their thing. It's usually the other way around. And, you know, so it was nice to be able to help out, you know, on blood draws and stuff that some of these other nurses just couldn't get.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked it in general. You know, I felt like I was really helping people. And, you know, I didn't just take the Nightingale pledge. I took, like, my own personal pledge that when I stopped, like, feeling about the people, like, where I'd treat them like they were family,
mm-hmm.
ask myself, you know, what would I do if this was my brother, sister, aunt, uncle, mom, dad,
mm-hmm.
cousin, lover, you know, that the moment that people just became numbers to me, I was going to get out of it. And it's like, you know, like I say, they were focused on this number that was called a Jayco score. And they were so hyper-focused on that they actually gave me a directive to interfere with how I was doing my job when I was doing it well.
Very good.
You know, I don't know. I had the highest rehospitalization rate of any of the nurses at this agency. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd go in there, and the primary question in my mind whenever I saw someone in a home care situation, the primary question I had to ask is, are they too sick to be at home? And so if I determined based on my professional opinion that they were too sick to stay at home, I wouldn't hesitate. I'd, you know, get them out to the hospital as soon as possible so that they didn't expire at home from something that could get treated in the hospital.
Sure.
And, you know, it's like 1 year I got counseled about that because not because I'd sent a bunch of people to the hospital sent back home, but just because I'd sent a bunch of people to the hospital, and it made their JACO scores look bad because every 911 run is like a ding against them on this JACO score that doesn't take into account how sick people are when they come into the agency or anything. It's just an abstract number that means nothing.
Right, right. Maybe to like personally myself, I wouldn't understand it. But it's kind of funny that you talk about that because I mean, here it is, you're doing nursing, which is helping out people, help them. Sometimes they can help themselves, so you're there to assist them. And so you have this epiphany. An angel touched you when you were taking a shower, correct? Is that how I interpret
it? Yeah,
that?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like really like bad or like it's, you know, sexual or something. But it wasn't like
no, I don't feel that way. But you know, the funny thing about it is, you know, here you are in one field, and then you're working. You're in a completely very similar field, but in a different way of approaching things. You know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I consider myself an idealist. I believe that my art can help change the world. I honestly, truly believe that it has strong vibrational healing within it that comes from God and the angels. And, you know, on the 13th, Monday, it was like right around midnight in the morning on the 13th, I decided, based upon guidance from spirit, that I was going to give away all of the sacred art on chakraactivation.com. And chakra activation isn't like your normal website, because on my website, chakraactivation.com, there's absolutely nothing for sale. I link to some places where you can buy my art. I link to a place where you can, you know, buy some dimensional sculptures that I've made and some t-shirts, but there's absolutely nothing for sale on chakraactivation.com. In fact, I'm giving away Metron's Cube version 2.0, which was inspired by Archangel Metron. I'm giving away a new flower life design, a new tree life design, and I'm giving away the blueprints to cut out steel to, you know, build your own three-dimensional version of a four-dimensional hypercube. I'm going to give them all away.
Okay. Explain to me these dimensional cubes. What are their purpose? What do they do? I mean, I see many in your card, and then I also see one in each one. You see what I'm saying? I see one, and then I see many.
Yeah.
Explain to me how that came about for you.
Well, it was a, you know, it wasn't anything I studied. I didn't study sacred gems. I didn't go get books in the library about it or anything. It's just, you know, in dreams, I would get these messages from angels, and the messages always seemed to be in pictures.
Okay.
You know, that's how they seem to communicate with me. And so I've only heard angels talk to me like three different times in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And each time they said like one sentence and that's it. So it wasn't like a conversation.
Right.
You know, like the prepare for Merkaba light body activation, you think you get like a little more notice in like 2 seconds. I mean, like the 2 seconds that she like delayed between saying that and touching me was not enough time to prepare for that.
Yeah, so my understanding is this happened instantly. Though.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a course of time over a week or something.
Oh, no, man. It's you know, like the thing from the Matrix where they decide they're unplugging Neo from the Matrix, and they, you know, it's like he gets flushed down like a, you know, from bathtub full of pink goo into like a sewer or something. That's kind of like what happened in my life. It was like a really dark period. I mean, like I had a transient kundalini awakening / behavior disturbance / manic episode, whatever you want to call it. You know, it was partly losing my mind. It was partly coming to some transient truths all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened on November 11, 2009, which if you take the 2 and the 9 together, that's 11, 11, 11. If you take the... And anyways, you know, on that day, I had like 2 run-ins with the cops, and then I got tased twice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I end up getting 2 felony indictments against me, and then I ended up, like, spending 2 weeks over at OSU Neuropsych Facility, and then had, like, this really deep, dark depression that lasted about 14 months, and didn't really clear up until right around Valentine's Day of 2011.
Wow.
It's like I just woke up one day and realized I didn't have to feel miserable, and it was a choice. You know, I was choosing to feel miserable, you know? It was a lot feeling sorry for myself and seeing myself as a victim. And it's like when I changed my perspective on that, it's like all of a sudden I wasn't depressed anymore.
Right.
It was like my view of the situation was the problem, not the situation itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was me labeling it. You know, how should I put it? You know, you've heard of I am affirmations.
Right.
Whatever you put after the am is the most powerful affirmation you can make.
Right.
You know, so if you say, I am depressed, or I am overweight, or, you know, I am a sex addict, or whatever, you're actually speaking your own truth. You're speaking that into your life. You're cursing yourself in a way. You're using the word to speak badly against yourself.
Right. So self-talk is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, Miguel Ruiz would consider it a violation of the four agreements.
Right. So basically what I'm hearing you say, I'm echoing back, you maybe fought this voice that came to you, that touched you, this angel that touched you, then all of a sudden you went into this dark period because of that particular epiphany, or you were in fear, or just because...
I don't know.
Confusion.
It's like, I think that it's...
You're not the first person
that's
happened to me.
It's like how should I put it? Like, until you really go into a really dark place, it's hard to see the light within yourself.
Okay, sure.
And it's like when you get into a place that's really, really dark, that's when you can start to see your own internal light. You know, in the old days, the shaman would go into a cave,
mm-hmm.
and they would go into a perfectly dark cave that was no light at all for the purpose of trying to find their own inner illumination.
That's correct.
And it wasn't that much of a rigid ritual type thing, but there was that kind of vision quest aspect to, you know, being so depressed I slept 16, 18 hours a day for 14 months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of like crawling into the chrysalis for 14 months, man.
Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, these are called hypercubes. Is that the problem?
Okay, yeah, well, the tesseract or hypercubes.
Yeah.
So okay.
These cubes have significance. It's a language within itself, correct?
Yeah, well, the hypercubes actually, how should I put it? They vibrate at the highest perfect frequency for each dimension.
Mm-hmm.
So like a fourth dimensional hypercube actually vibrates at like the most perfect high vibrational frequency that a fourth dimensional object can have.
Okay.
It's like a perfect object. I don't know how else to put it. You know, it's kind of like diamond shapes. It's like the hypercubes are like the diamond shapes of the higher dimensions.
Okay.
You know, they focus light in the higher dimensions.
Okay.
They're portals of energy. If you have a fifth dimensional hypercube, it's channeling and putting off fifth dimensional frequencies, which are higher dimensional frequencies. We're currently going from 4D to 5D. Some people think 3D to 4D, but it's like, no, because mm-hmm. if we weren't in 4D, there'd be no motion. If you only had three dimensions and you couldn't describe motion, if there's no time, we'd be a static frozen image.
Okay.
Does that?
Yeah, I understand that.
Okay, so, you know, if you take a square, that's two dimensions, that is length and width. If you project it into a third dimension of height, then you get a cube.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was another dimension of space that was 90 degrees perpendicular to X, Y, and Z, and you were to project your cube into that fourth dimension, then you get a hypercube. Hypercubes are kind of hard to visualize, but imagine like eight cubes
mm-hmm.
stacked on top of each other, and then there's like four cubes up near the top, kind of looks like a cross.
Okay. Understand.
They're dimensional portals. They channel higher dimensional energies
mm-hmm.
into our world. I've unlocked three of them so far: the fourth dimensional hypercube, the fifth dimensional hypercube, and the sixth dimensional hypercube.
What does that mean you unlocked?
I've actually like compressed down what's like an impossible object into a 3D projection.
Okay.
And so, like, it's like folding the dimensions And so you fold them down to where it becomes like a three-dimensional object, but it's still carrying the energy from the sixth dimension or the fifth dimension or the fourth dimension.
Mm-hmm. Now let me ask you a question, David. What's the purpose of this?
Okay, well, my vision quest is to try and chakra activate the world.
Okay.
And to that end, I'm giving away the artwork per instruction from the angels. They want it to be free, you know.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I might have insight in the mind of God from doing this artwork for him, he's not a big fan of copyrights, you know. It's like he owns all the designs out there, so he's not a big fan of copyrights, because if you make something, you didn't really make it. You were just a channel for its materialization in the material world.
Okay.
Like there's like an infinite pool of ideas that you went up there and grabbed an idea in your sleep and woke up with it or something, but you got it from the universal mind. It's not really yours.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, it's kind of like Obama. Someone else made that. You know, it's kind of like it's kind of like, you know, that super cool idea that you think's yours. Guess what? It belongs to the universe. It was here before you were ever a gleam in your daddy's eye. You know, it'll be here long after you're gone.
Sure, absolutely. That is correct. So yeah, because I looked at your designs online. I was, you know, because I did a little research before every show. But you know, we know each other too. So you've made several things for. Well, actually, you made the loved one that's in the kitchen that we use in the restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, so the food comes out with, you know.
And then I gave you one a couple days ago.
Yeah, and then you actually gave me
the fire phoenix.
And those of you who don't know what the fire phoenix is, David's going to explain to you his version of the fire phoenix. And to see a picture of it, I think you can go to iggygarcia.com, and you can go to iggygarcia at Facebook. That's where I said. I apologize. So.
Well, okay, so anyways, I went to a Japanese steakhouse, and as they were making a little onion volcano, I got my camera ready, and
mm-hmm.
for some reason, when he flashed the 151 rum, I snapped a picture and caught the fire phoenix, and it's probably the single most incredible photo I've ever taken.
Yeah, for those of you who want to see what that looks like,
they can friend me on Facebook.
You can friend David on Facebook, David Diamondheart. Or you can go to eGarcia on Facebook as well, and you can see the picture there. But it's pretty amazing. It's it looks like a bird.
And then if you turn it upside down, it actually looks like a bust of a human with like the kundalini energy piercing like the third eye in their forehead,
mm-hmm.
coming right out of their forehead. And then there's like an orange beam coming out of the forehead of the bird that's coming out of the forehead.
Like the baby phoenix or something.
Yeah.
What I thought was cool when you turned it around is that this symbol came on top. You know, it was on the bottom, but now the symbol's on top. You know, kind of like a higher self, a crown chakra opening. It's like exploded open. You know, I noticed that when I was looking at it last week when you showed it to me.
Oh, okay. No, I hadn't really thought of that, but
yeah,
it's kind of like your mind exploded and the sun came out of it.
Yeah, it's like, there it is.
But yeah, that was crazy, because like until I gave you this thing a couple days ago, I'd never seen that face in it.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, everything in the back kind of fades away, you know, when you start looking at it long enough.
But it is it's a magical symbol. I mean, not only did the fire phoenix show up, he did kind of turn his head to do a profile shot, like, get my good side.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. Also like how the knife is cutting the flame, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you start to see more things when you keep looking at it long enough.
It's a crazy picture. And then there's that one picture I caught of our buddy Dave Two Crows Rutland, where he was in the crow suit, and I caught the crow spirit, and then there was that Punisher skull in the back of his head.
Yeah, I remember that. I have to pull that one up to look for it. But yeah, I find your work very interesting. So do you work together with your Reiki and use the cubes for healing?
Some of the sacred geometry medallions I've made are strong enough. They put off... anything that's alive puts off what's called a Merkaba field.
Okay.
Merkaba, best described as a star tetrahedron or a three-dimensional Jewish star. Okay. One of the four-sided pyramids that's pointing down is spinning one direction. The other four-sided pyramid that's pointing up is spinning the other direction. And the counter-rotational fields created by the counter-rotating pyramids creates what's called the Merkaba field. So the artwork I'm making puts off its own synthetic Merkaba field, and that's why I make it on the computer so it can be absolutely perfectly symmetrical. Because it's really important that it's perfect, or the Merkaba field that the art puts off would be unbalanced. Instead of being centering and balancing on someone, would actually cause them to get unbalanced.
Okay. So what you're saying is that these actually will activate things in your body.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we went over this before, that the little symbol on the business card is powerful enough that if you place it over your third eye, it will actually interact through your pineal gland to chakra activate, balance you, open up your central channel, reconnect you with Mother Earth through your root chakra, and reconnect you with Father Sky and the galactic center through your crown chakra.
So what you're inviting people to, if they want this, to try this, to do this, those who aren't ready, you would say maybe not do it?
Well, you know, I mean, the thing is, there's nothing harmful about the energy.
Okay.
You know, it's like, for some people, they may have like a real sensitivity to etheric energy devices. And so my artwork, all of it's etheric energy devices. So if, you know, if they're really sensitive, they may not be able to get the card anywhere near their third eye. It may get like 3 or 4 inches away from their third eye and feel like a pressure coming off the card that almost feels uncomfortable. The card puts off enough energy that it actually puts off as much energy as a lot of Reiki masters. I mean, there's like so much energy in the card, it's like a Reiki master in your pocket. I mean,
yeah. They're like, shh, don't say that. No, I'm just saying they're Reiki masters.
I'm not trying to like make people irrelevant that are Reiki masters. I'm just saying, you know, if you don't have someone that can do Reiki on you, or you're just not feeling like doing Reiki on yourself, you can take
right.
your card out and energy balance yourself like in 30 seconds. You tried
it's
it, didn't you?
It's another tool is what you're saying.
You tried
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And that felt really good. So you worked on my ankle the other day.
Yeah.
Last Saturday. You know, a lot of people work on it, but you were the final, you know, key to that healing for myself, that helps self-healing. My ankle's been very good ever since.
Oh, it's awesome to hear.
Yeah, it's good. The intention's there, your heart was there, and so that was very valuable and very important.
I feel this, like, deep compassion for my fellow human beings. I can't even, like, really begin to explain it. It's like, you know, where I'm hooking in right now, there's access to the universal mind. You know, I just have to, like, tap into it. It's right there. And it's, like, it makes me feel so connected to everyone and everything on this planet. It's such a transcendental feeling. It's hard for me to even sometimes tell you where I end and where you begin. I feel that connected to everyone.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a big connection.
It is, you know, and I've been, like, clearing a lot of old, dead energies. You know, I got rid of a lot of stuff on my computer and, you know, dissociated myself from some activities I was involved in that didn't have a good energy feel. I don't even want to discuss them, but, you know, it's just like, you know, at a certain point, I just got to the point where I didn't feel like I really was against anything, you know, where I was just in a state of acceptance of everything being what it is and everything being perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that I couldn't visualize a better world, but that's not to say that things aren't perfect right now.
You actually, David Rutland, our friend David,
says
hello. He says thanks for mentioning him. This is a great show, so he's enjoying the show listening. So, David, say hi to you there.
Hey there, Cosmic Shaman Dave.
Yeah, he's sometimes on the show with me from time to time. He'll pop in and we'll tag team things. But we're going to take a break. I do have a question for you.
Sure.
Something that I thought was very, very interesting, and it was very, and you actually posted it on your Facebook today, Bill Gates. But we'll leave it at that because I find that very interesting, and I think our listeners will find that very interesting too, because it was something that I'm sure it crossed my mind, but it just never really resonated with me. But it made a lot of sense to me, and it was like, wow, that makes sense. You know, that's key. So we're going to take a break.
Right.
Folks, hang on. So you'll know what we're talking about here in a minute. I'm going to keep you in suspense a little bit, okay? are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com and WithInsights.com, your free online holistic publication resource magazine for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. Please feel free to explore our daily inspirational quotes and uplifting stories, exclusive interviews with local world-known inspirational leaders. Welcome back to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia, live here in Columbus, Ohio, with our good old buddy here, David Diamondheart. I'm going to ask him how that name came about here in a minute. But, you know, I hope you're enjoying the show. I hope you're getting something out of this. We do have a website, chakraactivation.com. Please visit that site. And then David will talk about another site and another card he has. He's got a little card. He's like a little magician, just pops him out. Here we are. Hey, how's it going? Da da da. But, yeah, over the weekend, he was here at the restaurant visiting the family and visiting friends and drumming a little bit with me. And he made a comment that I thought was pretty interesting, a statement. I think it's going to become part of his mission statement to the world for change and for, you know, an activation for some really high power rollers here in the world. Why don't you take us on that journey, what I'm talking about a little bit?
Well, you know, The big question that you have to ask yourself is, can you visualize a better world? Not just think about a better world. Can you create a very attractive, very realistic, very concrete, beautiful visualization in your mind and send love to it? And so, you know, when I think about the world changing, I hear about all these Mayan prophecies of disaster and destruction, I'm like canceling those out, and I'm thinking of them as being metaphors for the crumbling of the systems of control that currently enslave mankind. You know, so I came up with the intention that instead of there being, like, you know, wars in the street and civil war and FEMA camps and all sorts of crazy shit like that, you know, I'm creating visualization in my mind of, like, the rich and powerful in this world, the half of a percenters that run everything, spontaneously waking up enlightened. You know, that Warren Buffett wakes up one day and he's thinking like the Buddha. You know, that Bill Gates wakes up one day and he's thinking like the Buddha. You know, that Richard Branson wakes up one day and he starts spouting Confucius statements. You know, like that all these people just have like a contagion of enlightenment. And so if the people at the top of the pyramid, the rich people that control everything, if they wake up enlightened, there's nothing for you and me to do. The rich people that run this world, they'll change all the systems of control. They'll change how their businesses interact with their employees, their suppliers, nature, you know, the monetary system, everything. They'll change everything because they'll be enlightened people. They won't, I'm thinking maybe there's nothing for us to do, Iggy, except for create those beautiful visualizations and send them love. Visualize it already being here. Know like they say in the New Testament, the kingdom of heaven is within you. It's like everyone's looking for peace outside of themselves when, like Lao Tzu would say, that if you want to enlighten the whole world, enlighten yourself.
Right, and that's been a repetitive message.
Yeah, so, you know, it's like I think a lot of people, all they do is bitch, moan, and complain about the world, but they don't put any effort into visualizing a better world. They just want to bitch, moan, and complain about what they're seeing, and so they're going to see more of it. And it's like, I'm like sick of having that same world's going to hell in a handbasket thing. It's like, to me, anything that I hate, I give energy to. So, you know, a couple of recent things for me is like, I realized I can't hate anything. I got to love it all. Everything down here. And every single thing, every person. Now, that's not to say I can't have preferences, that I might prefer one thing over another.
Sure.
That's just fine to state a preference. but it's not okay to hate people or ideologies or animals or foods or, you know, geographical locations or cars or, you know, the hate is destructive. Mm-hmm. Hate leads to fear, and fear leads to the dark side. Thanks, yeah. Yoda.
Sure. Yeah, and I found that, you know, and that kind of stuck with me the whole weekend that I was at the zoo walking around and taking goofy pictures of animals, brass animals. And you know, I'm in the zoo, and I'm thinking, man, these poor animals are behind glass and caged and locked in. And I'm going, well, who has the worst of it, them or us, you know?
Well, you know, think, have you ever seen that one Star Trek where the aliens had Kirk in, like, this, like, glass cage? And had him, like, interacting with his female under weird conditions, and then they'd knock his ass out and set him up in the same conditions again to see how he'd react if they changed, like, one thing.
Mm-hmm. I remember that one.
Iggy, what if we're in some sort of zoo that we just can't see the glass walls, man? We can't see the cage. What if there's some aliens? What if your spirit guides aren't, like, departed spirits from Earth? What if they're aliens, you know, from Planet X in the you know, or Nibiru or whatever.
Yeah, everything's possible, you know. I mean, in this universe that we live in. But, you know, and it was just one of those weird moments when you're walking to the zoo and everybody's like, oh, Lord, and everybody's like, just look at the gorilla. And the gorilla's laying there going, I'm trying to sleep, you know.
Well, if you ever
go away.
You ever seen that Jim Carrey movie, The Truman Show?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like, have you ever had the feeling like, that other people or animals or whatever weren't just looking at you. They were kind of like videotaping you with their eyes.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. I was really kind of like, you know, being intuitive and also being an empathic person as I am, you know, even to the, especially with animals, because I work with animals, I could feel their energy. And it was just like, especially when they had all these little, it was Mother's Day too. So you have moms were there for free or whatever. And of course they brought their kids and their grandkids. So, the energies were really, was very intense to begin with, just with kids screaming and yelling, and then the animals were just like, it was almost like they prepared themselves for that day because you couldn't see any of them. They were all kind of like hiding and doing their thing, and it was just too much for them to handle. But I could sense them, you know, all day long. I was just like, and I just watched this gorilla just behind the glass, and the kids were like, oh, look, and he's just looking like, going like this, just that look like he's rolling his eyes, just like, really? I mean, like, dude, you know, you just like, go away. Just, I mean, I could feel, I could hear their voices in their head. It was funny. It was crazy. And it was just insane. It was just like, man, I'm like, are we in the zoo? Like you said, you know, I was thinking that too. I thought about that too. I was just like, are we in the glass? Or something else enjoying our suffering and our joys and happinesses and stuff. Because I was thinking, wow, these guys just can't get up and go anywhere they want. But we're kind of in the same way. We can't just get up and go anywhere we want either.
Well, if that's what you believe, then that's so it is.
So, you know, the gorilla can't just say, well, I'm going to go through that door, and I'm just going to go down to the 7-Eleven and get me a slushie, you know. He couldn't do that, is what I'm saying. But how many times we live in life that we put so much parameters and so much junk on ourselves to say, well, I can't go on this trip because I don't have money.
Well, but here's the thing. Okay, things have an essential nature.
Mm-hmm.
A gorilla may have, like, essential limitations in speech and, you know, manual dexterity. They may not be able to, like, you know, turn a bolt on a screw or whatever, like, mm-hmm. we can. But, you know, if it's not in their nature to be limitless, then yeah. Now, see, I think that human beings have no limits except for the ones that we actually embrace in our minds. And those are very real. As soon as you embrace a limitation on yourself, you voted for it. It's yours. You know, so I choose to think of myself as limitless.
Yeah, and you know, but I was observing everything yesterday. I was observing reaction, how people, my friend lost her cell phone, and how just everything just shifted. You know, she found it at the end of the day. But just watching everything was just amazing. Just the dance, you know, the movie, you know, the movie clip that, you know, the, like this piece of movie tape that you found on the road. You know, you asked me what it was, what you thought it was. I mean, there's writing and there's things on it, but
okay.
you can actually wipe all this off and start over.
Okay, so here's the thing. Like, you kind of hinted at the ultimate observer, because this is who I think we really are. once we get past our own personal story of suffering and victimhood, once you get past that, mm-hmm. or these ideas that we tell ourselves who we are in our heads, like we tell ourselves that we're a son or a daughter or, mm-hmm. you know, a counselor or a healer, or, you know, we might define ourselves by having some sort of special skill or a language or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Before you could ever utter a single word, you were there. Before you had any grasp of symbolic logic, what is innately you was there, and that is the ultimate observer. That's who we really are.
Mm-hmm.
That is what we share with God in sense of divinity. It's like each of us is a little spark of that ultimate observer.
And
that's where our life force energy really comes from. So when you become quiet and sit back and just observe what is going on around you without judging it, without interacting with it,
mm-hmm.
that's when you know the mind of God. In my
sure.
little reality bubble.
Right, right. Tell me about this card.
Okay, that's what I call the Infinite Love card. And Spirit showed me an infinity sign with four red hearts that were capped. Each of their little red hearts was capped with a little diamond. And it was just like the message from Spirit was like, here's this symbol. This is going to be important to you. Don't forget it. And so, you know, I worked with the symbol. I created it on the computer, like, from the image they showed me. And, you know, my legal last name is still David Oppenheimer. I have not had a legal name change. However, most people seem to have an association of the Oppenheimer last name with J. Robert Oppenheimer that made the atomic bomb, or Oppenheimer mutual funds on Wall Street. And I really don't think that either of those are necessarily things I want to be associated with. And,
right.
you know, it's like Spirit gave me a last name of Diamond Heart.
Okay.
That's all I can say. You know, it's like I don't feel like I really chose it for myself, but I did. I embraced it. I didn't choose it. I embraced it.
Could
I accepted
you read
it.
That for us?
Okay, so on the back of the card, I got the Corinthians prayer, and it says, love is very patient, very kind. Love knows no jealousy. Love makes no parade. It gives itself no airs, is never rude, never selfish, never irritated, never resentful. Love is never glad when others go wrong. Love is gladdened by goodness, always slow to expose, always eager to believe the best, always hopeful, always patient. Love never disappears.
Very good. Well, love is powerful.
Well, that's why we go through all this, Iggy, is, you know, that's why we go through all this human experience, is because when you really find someone that you connect with, that you love and loves you back, and where you really feel loved, that makes all the hassle and the stress and the worry and the anxiety, it's like that shelter in the storm where you feel like you got a safe harbor in the arms of someone that really loves you.
Correct. Our call number is 646-595-3440. Again, that's 646-595-3440. That is not a free call, so just a mindful there. If you have any questions for myself or for David, please feel free to call us. And we can take your questions. David Rutland, if you're out there, if you have any questions for our good old friend David. David, the double D's there.
Hey, David Rutland just bought one of my T-shirts, and he's been wearing it. So.
All right, cool. Maybe he can give us you know, a little plug for it, how he's feeling wearing it. I'm not sure if he's up for that or not. I know David is not shy, so I'm sure he'll give us a buzz here. I'm going to take a call here and see which way they want to go. Are you open to giving a reading or anything?
Well, I don't know if they necessarily want to do that.
Okay.
You know.
Or maybe they have a question for you or about the conversations we're having. So, all right.
Okay.
Five. Hello, 773. You're on the air.
Blame it all up, and they don't even know the difference.
Hello.
Hello. Yes.
The show. Hi.
Hello. How are you doing?
Who's with us? Well, we're well. How are you?
Oh, fine.
Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I'm calling about my son. He's
He's 6 years old, and he has an anger issue.
Okay.
And I just want to know, what should I do to him? I don't know if it's from autism or ABAD or what it is.
Okay. Without being there with him, I'm not sure if I could answer that question appropriately personally, but I can tell you one thing. We do have some tools here, and David has actually given away some of his artwork online. I'm not sure if you have a chat there, if you're open in the chat room, to help you with...
I don't know. I might oversimplify this, but when I hear you placing or looking for a label to place on your kid, you know, that he's got an anger problem or this or that, it's like, used to be kids just got to be little kids, and they were smart asses here and there and bumped up against authority figures, and we didn't put labels on them and treat them like they were a disease. Now it seems like it's off to the doctor to get them on some Concerta or Ritalin or some sort of stuff like that. It's like, I think that we've gotten to the point where we're clinicalizing and making an illness just normal child behavior. You know, I think the label on the child's probably more dangerous than anything that's a consequence of the child's behavior.
Because you don't listen to me.
But here's the thing is, your words are very powerful, so when you say he doesn't listen to me, that's what you're drawing to you, is more of him not listening to you. And so since you can think of anything, when you think of your relationship with your son, you can imagine it any way you want in your mind. So visualizing him being warm and loving and caring and responsive and respectful is going to bring you a lot more of that than imagining him being, counter to everything you're doing or whatever, oppositional. So like if you're expecting opposition from a kid, I think you get it. You know, it's like they've done studies where teachers were told that kids were exceptional, that were just average kids, and then because the teachers expected the kids to do really well, the kids started performing great on these standardized tests because the teachers expected them to do well. Mm-hmm. Kids are very impressionable. If you expect bad behavior from them, they pick up on it, and they'll give you bad behavior. They're like personal emotional trainers. You expect bad from them, they'll give you bad.
All right, caller, I appreciate you calling in.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. That's true. I mean, you did speak about that earlier. You know, our self-talk is very important, even as parents, you know, speaking and what we say to ourselves. Other people see it.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you say your kid's a bad kid or just never listens to me or, you know, oppositional or whatever, little kids, you're just programming them. Little kids are like little computers. It's like as soon as you say these words, these really negative words, it's like you're cursing that little kid. You know, instead of seeing them as like the bright, loving, limitless little creatures they are, you start putting these negative labels on them, and they don't have any self-defense from that shit at all.
Right.
It just sticks right to them, and they start to think they're bad people.
Right.
And then they stop having that sense of childlike wonderment about the world because they're eaten up with guilt and shame.
Mm-hmm.
They think they're not good enough. They think they're unlovable. They think they have to act a certain way to be loved. You know, they start to get these really messed up ideas about relationships in general.
Yeah. Well, hopefully our listeners kind of picked up on what's happening. You know, sometimes we are our worst critic, our worst enemy, but we can also be our best, proponent.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I think that there are unhealthy relationships you can have with your ego, and then there's healthy relationships you can have with your ego. Your ego can either be your worst enemy, hiding where you least expect it, right inside of you, or your biggest cheerleader that, you know, you get down a little bit, and if you have like a positive ego, it's going to say, hey, you weren't born to give up. Go, go, go. You're almost near the goal.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes we learn things from, you know, our parents. We learn things from society. We learn things from, you know, people who we associate with, and we don't even know that we're picking up, you know, that residue, that energy, that vibration, and then next thing you know, we don't know who we are.
Well, like I say, I think that There's a yogic meditation called the Isha Kriya,
mm-hmm.
and you can look it up online. It's ISHAKRIYA, and it's a really good meditation. One of the philosophies in the Vedic texts and their education system is that the two primary causes of suffering in this world, in fact, almost all suffering is related to over-identification with your body or over-identification with your mind. You know, and if you make the logical error of thinking that your thoughts are you, then you get all caught up in your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, you have 20,000 of them stream across your consciousness every day. And, you know, like the Mayans didn't consider thought as the way we do, they thought of it as one sense. It wasn't given dominion over all the other senses. It's a sense about the world. The way you think is a sense about the world, like smell, touch, mm-hmm. taste, etc.
Okay, perfect. You ready for another call here? 753, you're on the air.
Hey, it's David Two Crows.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Dave, what's up?
Hey, I'm just happy to be talking to two of my close friends and brothers. Just want to say this is a wonderful show, and David, you're really pouring your heart out here. We've recently reconnected after a while, but you know, I've seen such a change in you that it's just been completely night and day, and I think it's a change for all of us too, in the world in general. But I mean, you've really embodied that, embraced it, and I just really appreciate the way you're reaching out to people and embracing everyone and sharing so much of what you have to offer. And we're all growing from it. So keep it up, bro. I'm really happy to know you and see the wonderful things that are happening for you.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate the positive words. I feel transformed by, like, the spiritual journey to the point where I don't even really quite recognize who I am compared to who I was, because I feel so different. It's hard to imagine that I was that person who was so caught up in the us and them and the dichotomy of good and bad, and they're bad because we're good and we're good because they're bad. You know, that,
right.
that sort of thinking doesn't lead to harmony. It leads to, like, chaos, destruction, and disharmony. So, you know, it's, I don't know, it's, you know, when I think about it, it, you know, there were some periods where it really hurt a lot, but, you know, I think I chose the pain, and it had to hurt just enough to wake my ass up. You know, it's not like it hurt any more than it had to. It hurt just the right amount to wake my ass up in the right amount of time.
yep, absolutely.
So, yeah,
well,
you know,
yeah.
It's like I don't blame the situations anymore. You know, it's like if I blame a situation, then there's no learning for me in the situation because I'm looking outside myself to try to understand it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Well, I've recently purchased one of your T-shirts online, but I know you're giving your things away, so that's really great. But I just want to say I've seen and felt for myself the power that you're bringing through with these portals that has been created through this energy, and it's transformative. I mean, it's really working. So the people come, I've seen people seem just attracted to you just because of that energy and how you radiate it. So I know that you know, lots of folks are getting some really good healing from it, and they're passing it on too. You can just kind of feel everything lighten up, you know, through them. It's like a ripple effect spreading out. So keep it up. That's all I can say. You're doing the right thing, I think.
Well, I'm like I say, you know, I don't know if you listen to the whole show with Iggy to hear it. You know, I'm trying to create these beautiful visions of the world in my mind's eye and just send them love and just trust and believe that the rich and powerful can wake up enlightened and change this whole world, and we don't have to have a war in the streets and FEMA camps and all that crap. We can just people lay down their weapons and decide they can't kill their fellow man. They feel that connected to him, they could never think of killing him. You know, it's like, I'm just imagining spontaneous enlightenment around the globe. To mm-hmm. me, that's the most beautiful visualization I can come up with.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, if you look in another person's eyes and you see yourself, how can you harm yourself? How can that's counter to our whole nature as human beings to inflict harm or anything on something. That's, I guess that's why they have to, in military, they have to dehumanize the enemy and make them into something not relatable to on that level, because you can't look at another human being and do that to them. So, you know,
yeah.
What you're doing is kind of... And what we're all trying to do is to counteract that, that negativity and that dehumanization that we put on each other.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would definitely, you know, this is probably the appropriate time to tell people that, you know, turn off the TV, unplug the cable. You know, if you got to be distracted from reality, at least go on the web where you're clicking around. And the act of actually being actively involved and clicking around on the web, at least your mind is being challenged somewhat. You know, you're actively using it. When you're sitting on a couch watching the TV, your brain's actually degenerating. They've done tests, and people perform more poorly on these standardized tests after watching 15 minutes of TV. It actually makes you dumber.
Right. And it's like diet, too. I mean, what are you choosing on the TV? Are you choosing to watch murder? Are you choosing to watch the news, which we all know is, you know, it's manufactured, you know, to titillate and to give the worst possible, scenario of the world, you know, or are you expanding your mind? Are you out there, looking to learn things from different points of view? Are you challenging yourself? Are you growing as a person? Or are you just kind of vegetating and allowing yourself to be programmed? You know, that's choices we all can make, and you can stop it right now.
Well, you know, I don't know if you listened to any of those three audios I sent you. Have you checked those out?
I haven't had a chance to. No, I'm sorry. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, those are some pretty awesome audios that I listen to, and they seem to calm and center me, like, almost magically. I don't know what else to say. Your brain is like a computer, and you can install whatever program you want in it. And people don't seem to understand that they're accepting other people's programming into their computer, and it's not harmonious. They didn't choose the program. Society programmed them. Their parents programmed them. School programmed them. TV programmed them. You know, like women's fashion magazines, porno magazines, whatever, program their mind, and they've got all these messed up ideas about the world they just need to throw out. They're unrealistic. They make people miserable.
Exactly. The most freedom I've had recently is unlearning all that programming and getting back to what I knew right from the moment I was born here, is that I'm a limitless being, I'm powerful, I'm love, I'm here for a purpose, and I am unfolding that purpose in every moment, and that's all I need to know, and just go with that.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, and all you got to, you know, I think where a lot of people get stuck is, like, they can't visualize the transition between their ideal vision of the world and how it is now, and they don't have to. See, that's the beauty of it. You don't have to be able to see every single step in between. You don't have to be able to see all the way to Los Angeles to drive from Ohio to Los Angeles. You just got to be able to see about a quarter mile down the road.
Yeah.
So you just got to take the next inspired action. You know, I was like actually inviting people to do some small act of random kindness. You know, help someone with groceries or trash or, you know, pick out the mail for them or just say hello to a stranger, just some random act of kindness, because I think those are so important. And I think, you know, people don't connect with each other anymore. We go through our lives with these little isolated worlds and we're just disconnected from everything, it seems like. Our true selves, our families, our loved ones, our occupations, the monetary system, we're slaves, you know, like in the Matrix. We're slaves to a system we didn't create.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, I'm going to let you go. I know you got to wrap the show up, so great talking to you. And awesome.
All right, man, enjoy wearing that shirt. I hope it brings you some good vibrational health, man.
It already has. All right, brother. Talk to you later.
All right. See you, David. Awesome. Good. A little plug on your shirt. All right, guys. We're getting ready to wind down here pretty quickly. For those of you who want to check out the website, it's chakraactivation.com. And I believe it's chakraactivation.com. And then also there's a free artwork there that he's Spirit has said that you must give away.
Well, you know, like I say, the Metatron's Cube's been updated to version 2.0, and you know, I honestly do feel like the humble servant of Spirit on these artworks. They're really not my designs. They belong to God and Archangel Metatron, and it's kind of humbling that they would choose me as a vehicle for their expression in this world. I feel honored.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's like if Spirit wants these things to be free to everyone, who am I to argue? You know, it's like I trust that Spirit's going to provide for me. If they want me to give away this art, then obviously something better's coming.
Very good. Well, I want to thank you. And do you have any last words? What was not your last words?
Well,
I'm sure there's tons going through your head.
Okay. Three words. It's all love.
It's all love. I've heard that before. Awesome. All right, folks. There you have it. David Diamondheart is here with us, and he gave his heart today, and gave, you know, his spirit, his soul. And check out his website. Check out his information. Check out, you know, we all have gifts. We all have the universe channeling through us, and the universe chooses to channel through David in this magnificent, beautiful way with these beautiful cubes, these beautiful infinity signs and hearts. And, you know, just take time to reflect and look at the person next to you and, you know, give them a hand, like you were saying. Let's go out there and let's make a difference in the world. It starts with us. Peace starts with us. Love starts with us. So go out there and make a difference in the world. And I want to invite you to report back to us next week and let us know how it feels to, you know, give a hand to somebody else. It's kind of like that commercial you always see, you know, on TV. One guy helps another guy, and that guy helps another guy. Everybody feels good, you know, and it just always comes back to the guy who started it.
Well, you know, I think that really is the basis for a functional human society. I mean, we're the only creature on this entire planet that's slave to money. Every other animal on this planet works collectively, communally, together,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have money. And if like every other species on this planet can do fine without the money, something tells me that when the money goes bye-bye, that the people that think they control us go bye-bye too.
Okay.
That's what I'm praying for that too, you know.
Sure. Very good. Well, folks, we'll see you next week, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Iggy Garcia, Rosa Garcia Bell. We'll all be back here together doing our show. So check me out on iggygarcia.com. You can kind of visit our websites there, Iggy Garcia at Facebook. And I'll talk to you soon.